Well, you look so thrilled. I need to update you. Last week, I told you about the wonderful experiences in my family. I got to share with you that my father went by ambulance to the hospital on the 26th in the morning, and then on the 27th in the morning. He liked it so much, he went back. And then on the 28th, my mother decided to go in by ambulance. And then that afternoon, my brother came over to look after my father, who was back at home. I hope you're keeping track of all this, because there's a quiz later. He collapsed on the living room carpet with a heart attack. So, you heard all that last week. Well, this week, the saga continues. My brother actually got home after 5 days. Praise the Lord. 5 days. My mother is still in hospital, ready to come home. And my father is actually doing well. I mean, but he needs help getting around and stuff. And so we're kind of trying to stagger our time as sons to look after them. And as I was saying, as I was tucking Dad into bed the other night, I said, "Dad, you did this number of years for us. It's our turn to tuck you in at night." And he said, "It's about time, you know." So he's in good humor. It's great. But thank you for praying. And I know God has continued to answer prayer. The road is still, the journey's still there. Hey, we're still walking through that. But I appreciate your prayers. I was thinking about in the year 1995, and some of you, I probably have told you this story, but it's okay. It bears repeating. In 1995, my mother and father were heading to New Brunswick to visit my aunt. And my dad is the kind of person who likes things organized. And when things are organized in such a way, when he's going somewhere, he likes it organized specifically so that he doesn't have to worry about getting from point A to point B. He wants time to get there and time to get things accomplished and time, if there's a flat tire in the way or something, he wants to make sure all that's looking. How many of you are like that? Don't put your hands up. See, you did anyway because, you're used to doing. But my mother, on the other hand, my mother is, she realizes that my dad wants things organized and done in such a way. My mother makes sure that my dad, she keeps him humble. So she makes things, "It's okay, we got lots of time. We only have 10 minutes. We have to get to the airport in 10 minutes." Well, my dad, the night before, asked my mother, "Have you got your bags packed? Is everything ready?" "Yes, I'm ready. Don't worry, I have lots of time. Everything's going to be fine. We'll get to the airport in time." He had arranged with Joan, my wife's parents, to pick them up and take them to the airport, and that was all good. He had everything planned. Everything was ready. So he gets up in the morning, and he's making sure, "Mabel, do you have your bags packed?" "Yes, I got it packed. Don't worry, everything's fine. Everything's good. Calm down, George. Everything's fine." "Yeah, well, I'm taking them to the curb. We got to get them in the vehicle. We have to get there. We only have an hour and a half. Come on." So he's lugging, he's putting all the luggage outside, and he's getting everything ready, and he comes back in, he says, "Anything else? No way, you've got everything out there? No, anything else? I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back for anything. Once we're at the airport, that's it. If you've forgotten anything, too bad." You can understand, right? I mean, the plane's leaving, he wants to get there. So they arrive at the airport, and my father-in-law does a great job of loading up the vehicle. My dad's got all the luggage outside and ready to roll, and they arrive to the airport, and they're loading the luggage onto the thing at the airport for weighing in and making sure that everything's taken care of. And my dad is, checking as it goes by, and he's going, "Okay, that piece of luggage, that piece of luggage, that. Wait a minute, where's my bag?" He's going, "Where's my bag? Hold on a sec. Mabel, what'd you do with my bag?" And she's going, "I never did anything with your bag. I had my bags ready. You got yours. Yeah, but my bag's somewhere. Where's my bag?" "Ron," Joan's father, "where's my bag?" He goes, "I don't know. What are you looking for?" "I don't know. It's a black bag. It's black and red." He says, "My bag. That's my luggage. I don't have any luggage. Where's my luggage?" And all of a sudden, he remembered he set it on the trunk of his car. So it's back at home. And so you know what happened. Ron had to go back home, get my dad's piece of luggage so that he could fly to New Brunswick. Isn't it interesting how so often we think we're so secure in what we're doing, and yet in the height of becoming so secure in what we're doing, we really neglect our responsibility and forget that we're not secure at all. This morning I want to talk about the cure for the insecure, because we have an epidemic of insecure people in our society today. I mean, so many people are insecure and they don't feel good about themselves, and it really causes lots of major, major problems in relationships. Now, you got to understand that being insecure is a problem. You just don't want to go around saying, well, you know, I can't help it. That's the way I am. I'm insecure because, listen to this, it's not God's will for you to be insecure. God does not want you insecure. And so we carry so much unnecessary baggage with us that causes insecurity within us. So I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 14. It's only one verse this morning. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to look at what successful self-security is. Successful self-security is, first of all, feeling right about yourself. Now, if you look at this passage in Romans 14, 17, you're going to start being able to paint this picture in your life of who you really are with God. Romans 14, 17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What a great thought. What a great passage of Scripture. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Part of your blood-bought inheritance is to be secure, to know who you are in Christ, to have a feeling of lightness or rightness about you. You're not supposed to go around all the time feeling wrong about yourself. Amen? Come on, are you here? Okay, thank you. But you know what? Most people do. Most people feel like there's something wrong with me. I'm not who I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. I don't look the way I should look. I don't like this. I don't do that. I can't. I got to be this, something else. And I hope by the grace and mercy of God that I can help you get over that today, because I want to tell you that affects your prayer life. That affects your ability to be who you need to be. It affects your personal relationships. And it certainly, certainly steals your joy and your peace in life. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, you think about that for a moment. We often handle our insecurity about who we are by thinking we need something else to fill it. Like we drown our sorrows in drink. Or we drown our sorrows in food. I mean, when we start thinking bad about who we are, or if we're angry with what somebody said about us or to us, or what somebody's done to us, or if we don't get what we want in life, we reach for the fridge door instead of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say it's joy, peace, and then righteousness. It says it is, number one, righteousness. Number two, peace. Number three, and you all said that like this, joy. So happy today. I'm excited. Happy New Year. You know. I believe they're putting that order because that's how they're supposed to come into our life. Now, how can we have peace if we don't know that we're righteous? Or that we're made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ? I want you to understand that this morning. Being righteous, write this down, doesn't mean that you're totally perfect and that you have no weaknesses and that you have no flaws. Because I tell you, you do. And if you spoke to my spouse, you would know, never mind, don't talk to her. Being righteous First of all, a state that God, by His grace, puts us into through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we receive that by faith. I believe that. I believe that because the Bible says that Christ became sin and He made me righteous. And that I am. Now, if I won't believe that, then I will never begin to do what's right in my life. See, we first have to know that we have been made right, and then if we know that we're right, the automatic response is to do right. I want to let you in a little secret today. Satan wants you to be insecure. He wants you against yourself. God is for you. Satan's against you. Boy, I'm just full of great news today, right? But God is for you. So who can be against you? But Satan's against you. Do you want to get in agreement with God, or do you want to be in agreement with the devil? I say it again. God's for you. The Bible says that. Therefore, I don't care how I feel, God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, what can man do unto me? Why don't you get free of your baggage today? Why don't you get radically free from caring about what people think? I think we just ought to have a huge freedom session here today. Get rid of the habit and the addiction of, I need to be approved, I need to be approved, I need to be approved. It's true, isn't it? Oh, I hope they like my hat today. Got it for New Year's. Got to look good. Hope they love the way I look. Hope they love the way I preach. Did I say that? Yes, I did. Everyone wanted to look at it. This is what we want. We want everybody to look at us and go, oh, perfect. Oh. You know, we want to do any kind of job, and we want people to look at us and go, perfect. We want to get dressed in the morning. We want to work out. We want all our kids and friends. We want them to look at us and go, wow, perfect. I don't want to disappoint you today, but you're imperfect. And you better praise God that you're imperfect, because if you weren't, then you wouldn't need Jesus Christ. He didn't come for the well, He came for the sick. And I tell you, I'm really sick. He came for the hurting, He came for the suffering, He came for the downtrodden, He came for the sinner, He came to deliver those from addiction. He came for the beaten. He came for those who need Him. He came for the insecure. He came for you, and He came for me. I need Jesus. I'm a very needy person. I tell the Lord many times in the day, I say, Lord, You're looking at a desperate man, because I'm desperate. I need Jesus. Say that with me. I need Jesus. Now, you say it like you really mean it today. I need Jesus. You do. You need Jesus? I need Him. Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and He continually intercedes for us. I figure that if Christ continually intercedes for me, I must continually need it. I need Jesus. We're made right with God through Jesus Christ. I tell you, when Jesus died on that cross, God ripped that temple curtain in two for just ordinary people like you and me, so that I could come and I could find freedom and I could find security in Him. I need Jesus. Old, ordinary you, sorry Steve, we're saying old a lot today, but old, ordinary you, plain old, ordinary you, plain old, ordinary average you, and just go right into the presence of God, and the Bible says that you can talk to Him. You can! We begin to think right when we do that. We enter into his presence and we say, God, I need help. I'm a desperate person. I need to be made secure in you. And then we begin to think right. Begin to talk right. Remember, we looked at that last week. We begin to think right. And then when we begin to think right, we begin to talk right. And then we begin to live and we begin to act right. And nothing pleases God more. When you start feeling wrong about who you are, you just say, Satan, it's under the blood. Because I, in the power of Jesus Christ, I am secure in him. You need to toss that piece of luggage aside today. This is one piece that you don't need on your journey. You can leave it on the back of the trunk of your car and still take the journey. Because it'll just wear you down. It'll wear you down. It'll wear you down. And it's just full of nothing. Well, successful self-security is feeling right about yourself, but it's also freedom from complications. Oh, boy, I love complicated life. I tell you, lately, it's been, it feels like I've had about 800 days in one. You ever felt like that? You got several days coming and attacking you in one day? Well, I don't know about you, but I feel so often complicated in my life. I feel that life is so complicated. I mean, and I don't make it that way. I make life complicated for myself sometimes. I do. You know? If I know I have to be somewhere at 9 o'clock, you know, church, for instance, if I know I have a 8:45 service in the morning, I tell you, I'm not setting my alarm for 8:30. I'm going to complicate my life if I do that. You see? If I believe that I'm an old rotten sinner, I'm just going to keep on sinning. I'm going to keep on sinning. And I'm going to keep on sinning. Because what we do comes out of our who. What we do comes out of our who. Who we are. Who are you today? You see, are you complicating your life today? Are you complicating your relationship with God today? If you want to be unhappy, just keep doing something that's not right for you. How many of you have ever bought a pair of shoes? Okay, those of you who haven't, you can talk to those who have. I used to sell shoes, actually, and did you laugh at that? It was a wonderful profession. I hated it. No, it was great. I actually enjoyed meeting people that way. But, you know, I learned very quickly that you have to measure people's feet in order to fit shoes on them. Like you couldn't, for instance, if somebody walked into the store and they walked in and I would look at their feet and I'd say, hey, I know what you need. And I go off to the back and I come out and I'm trying to put this size 6 into a size 8. You know, doesn't work. In fact, I had this lady once, she walked in and she said, you don't need to measure my feet. She said, I know that I'm a size 6. And I looked at these things and I'm going, whoa. Where did those come from? I didn't measure her feet, but I went and got the size 6. And I was trying to put them on her feet, and she was saying to me, she's trying to force them in and walk around like this, you know. She said, oh, oh, I'll take them. And I went, don't they hurt? Yeah, but I'll grow in them, you know. And I tell you, about 2 weeks later, she came back. She said, these shoes just hurt my feet. We had to do a return. Serious, true story. You see, we sometimes say, I'm a size 6, when really we're a size 8, and we try to walk around so uncomfortable. Have you ever really walked around in really uncomfortable shoes? Anyone? Have you? Really uncomfortable? But have you ever walked around in really comfortable shoes? Yeah, some of you are there right now because you're sleeping. But you don't want shoes that are not comfortable. You need shoes that are really comfortable if you want to journey right. And you know what? We need to get comfortable spiritually. We need to have the right shoes. I was thinking about this in my own personal time with God. Thinking about this. I said, God, this past week, everything around me is hustle and bustle. Very complicated, God. I just want to be relaxed right now in you. God, I just want to be so relaxed in spirit. God, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be tied up in knots anymore, Lord. I want to be relaxed. How about you today? Have you had enough of being tied up in knots in your life? Today, you can get comfortable. Benjamin Franklin, he said it well when he said, those who desire to give up freedom in order to gain security will not have, nor do they deserve, either one. I found a new word this past week, and it's a great word, and walk with me on it. I mean, I arrived at my mom and dad's place, and there's everywhere there's something. I mean, there's stuff in every room. And I'm, you know, and I slept, I tell you where I slept, I didn't sleep in a bed because the beds are covered with stuff. And I slept on a couch. I slept sitting up. And that's okay. There's no problem. I mean, the couch had room. Beds didn't. but I found out a new word. Simplicity. Such a nice word. I can't complicate things anymore. I was always complicating things. I'm trying to get my hands on stuff to read now on simplicity. Because I'm determined I'm going to live a simple life. And I'm starting to understand that that's the only way that you can really walk in the presence of God is when you simplify your life down to a person who needs Jesus Christ all the time. Because we have too many complications. And when you really sit and think about the complication in your life, it usually is something that we have initiated. And we're usually the one responsible for doing what we're doing and complicating our life outside the will of God. Simplify your life today. Make this year a year where you're simplifying your life, freeing yourself from the complications. Everything just gets so complicated because Satan wants to complicate your relationship with Jesus Christ. He does. Satan wants your prayer life to be complicated. He wants spiritual warfare to be complicated. He wants your spiritual gift to be complicated. He wants your serving in the church to be complicated. He wants your ministry to be complicated. Satan wants your relationships to be complicated. Satan is out to get you into a complicated life. How's he doing? This morning is so simple. It's not complicated. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy. So simple. We talked last Sunday about negative thinking. God's not negative. You trust Him with your surrendered life. And as we learned, trust is not knowing everything. You can't know everything and trust God with your life. You trust Him with your life because He knows everything, not you. But what we do is we complicate it. Most of the answers that we're looking for are simple things, but Satan wants to complicate it in your life. Some things Satan uses, a lot of people, they're held back with their past spiritual abuse they've walked through. God wants you to be free today. You need freedom. You need freedom from the public polls. You need freedom from always having to have it your own way. You need freedom from the past garbage that keeps creeping up on you. You need to start forgiving people more. You need to start showing mercy and grace more. You need to stop talking about how awful the church is because it's the bride of Christ. You need to start being free. and living like it. See, I was out of line with Christ for many, many years. It's confession time. I was up front, I was preaching the word, but I was out of line with Christ. I did not have a perfect relationship with Him. I'm trying, still trying, to keep that relationship with Him. But for so many years, I was out of Christ. And then I look back and I was so wretched, I was so miserable, I was so defeated, I was so untrusting of anyone and everybody, I was unforgiving, I was always having to have it my own way, I was worrying, I hurt, I was desperate to please people, I was looking for pats on the back all the time, I didn't want others getting ahead of me, I wanted the attention, I was selective, and I thought, somebody, somewhere, has got to be responsible for my spiritual condition. I thought, somebody, somewhere, has got to start feeding me for a change. Why are people inviting me to a Bible study? Why are people looking after me spiritually? And I started talking about the church in such negative ways, saying, they're not looking after me spiritually. Where's the problem here? And then all of a sudden, one day, I woke up and I became free. And I'm no longer insecure. When I'm out of Christ, I'm insecure. When I'm not doing my when I'm walking further and further away from my Bible reading and my prayer life, I'll tell you, that's the further I walk away from living my life to the fullest that God has for me. And so I realized one day, whoa, Satan's loving me right now. And Jesus is saddened by me. And so I sat in my room, I sat there and I sat in my study, and I said, oh Lord, I can't take this anymore. And He said, it's about time. I said, I have to surrender myself completely to You. I'm no longer holding anybody else responsible for my spiritual condition. I'm going to be responsible for my spiritual condition. I'm going to be spending time in Your Word, Lord. Every day I'm going to spend time with You. I'm going to pray to You, God. I need Your help. I am so desperate and needy. I need You, Jesus. And He said, it's about time. Maybe it's about time for you today. I want to tell you right now that you are not alone. God can bring change into your life. Get yourself in agreement with God. God is for you. Satan is against you. Who are you going to agree with? God? You're going to agree with God? Amen? Amen? All right. You need to say a few things with me today. These are from Scripture, and you need to say them with me and proclaim them today in the name of Jesus. Will you do that? Say, I am free from any condemnation. Say, I am free indeed. Say, God loves me. Say, I'm His child. Say, I'm His special child. Say, I'm the apple of God's eye. Say, He made me on purpose. Say, I have value. I have worth. I've been made right with God. I am accepted by Him. I've got a new start in life. I've got a future. Now turn to the person next to you and say, your future is so bright. Say, you need sunglasses to look at it. You want to know something? You want to know something? You can talk yourself every day. You can talk yourself into a good mood, or you can talk yourself into a bad mood. You got to be careful about your thoughts, your thinking, because no matter how much somebody preaches to you, no matter how many Bible studies that you attend, how many people you fellowship with, no matter who you hang out with, how many open doors that God gives you, if you won't change your thinking, and change the way you talk about your own life, there is nothing God can do for you. Nothing. From now on, start talking right about yourself. Don't ever say I'm stupid. Don't ever say I don't do anything right. Don't say I'm ugly. You stand in front of that mirror every morning and you say, I'm just right. God's working on me. Things are changing. It's a new year. It's a new day. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to tell you right now, there's good news. There's good news right in front of you. God can heal you this morning from being insecure. Part of your heritage, part of my heritage, is that we might be secure. This morning, you need to get rid of the baggage that you're carrying. Enough's enough already. You don't need any more. You are beautifully created. You're a beautifully created being. God made you with such amazing possibility and potential, and He has a wonderful, bright future in store for you. This year is going to be a hallmark year for your life. But you must lose that baggage that Satan's trying to get you to carry around and start picking up the right pieces, which are much easier to handle. And you can do this morning. You can say, Lord, I just want to feel good about myself finally for a change. I know that I am made right in your eyes by the blood of Jesus Christ. I accept who I am today. And maybe you need to say to him, Lord, I've been complicating my life way too much. It's time to get things simple again. Or maybe you've been holding people responsible for your spiritual condition. It's time to take stock in your own life and say, Jesus, I need you. I don't need anybody else. I don't need any other kind of system or rules. Jesus, I need you. If you're coming to God that way today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to just lift up your hand. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. God sees all those hands going, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands going up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees them. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, we thank you for the hands that are raised to you. But Lord, we all raise our hands to you. We know, Lord, that you look after everything in our life. You are the author. You're the finisher. Lord, we often want to finish. We can't do that anymore. We need you, Jesus. We've wandered far. We wander far away from you at times, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We wander away, but you always walk with us, waiting for us. Lord, today it's the start of a new year. Lord, we want security more than anything else. We are secure. We are made righteous. And in our righteousness, Lord, that you bestow on us, we have peace, we have joy, and we thank you today. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, to you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Elders, prepare the Lord's table. Will you announce benevolence?